Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug. It's Thursday, November 9th, 2023, and we've got another great guest.
Oh, do tell.
They just keep coming. It's another talented person who has a one-person show. Have you ever done a one-man show, Doug?
I have not. Never. Just the stand-up, no.
I mean, that's essentially what stand-up is a series of one-man shows.
Yeah.
I've done a two-man show with Todd Glass. I did a three-person show back in the day where me and two other comedians would travel together, and then we'd do we each do sets, and then we do improv together at the end. And but I've never gone solo myself either.
Well, today's the day.
No, today's the day to talk to. Now, here's the trickiest part of this interview today is that I've been calling this woman by the wrong last name, or I've been mispronouncing it. As far as I know, I have to verify that with her today, but it's Allison Leiby, L-E-I-B-Y. So we'll get to the bottom of it if it's Leiby or Leiby, but last I heard it was Leiby.
I can't wait to get the update. Maybe it changed.
A friend of hers said it that way. Yeah, maybe it changed.
You never know.
Anyway, we're going to find out, because that's what this show is about, is investigative journalism. Exactly. Getting to the bottom of these kind of things. Let's go to work. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
Leiby.
Yes. We did it.
This has been quite an adjustment for me, because for whatever reason, I was saying your name wrong for a while.
Oh, that's okay. Most people do.
I think that's must be a common mistake people make, because you just don't, you're not into correcting people when they say it wrong.
Yeah. It feels like, also, like if it were my first, like for like a podcast or a show, I'm like, I don't know how often you're going to say my last name, so I don't feel like it needs to get addressed. But you know, if you got Allison messed up, then I guess we'd have to start over.
Well, I'm glad that, you know, your friend, Hallie Kiefer.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that was like, no, it's Leiby, when I said Leiby in front of her.
What a defender of my last name.
Yeah, but that's also part of the fun, is that her Kiefer is spelled E-I.
Yes. Yep.
And you're an I-E.
Yes.
So that's another, there's two ways to confuse the names.
Or no, I'm an EI. Like, we both have the same spelling.
Oh, there you go.
But hers is, but they're like that, pronounced differently, but spelled similarly for like the vowel sound. And I'm just like, who cares anymore?
Yeah. No, I not appreciate me. That attitude very much. Because like I said, I've said your name wrong with you in the same podcast, because you've been on Doug Loves Movies.
Yeah.
And
I don't think I even clocked it either. Like, I just don't even hear it when it happens too. I'm just like, all right, whatever. I mean, I'm here, so.
Yeah, and it is true that the EI spelling that also does really lead you in the wrong direction when
it
you
does.
Go to pronounce it.
It's all kinds of wrong.
So, but let's start with how are you? How are you doing overall?
Like fine. Is anyone like going above fine right now? I don't know. I'm happy that that SAG got a deal. I feel very excited that the actors can go back to promoting movies so we can hear them say absolutely out-of-pocket things when they're on red carpets and panels. But I'm also excited to go back to writing television at some point. So that's, you know, that feels nice. Everything else feels like absolute garbage, but that's good.
Yeah, that one good thing did happen. You know, it still has to be...
Ratified
by the membership. I guess all SAG-AFTRA members will get to vote or something.
Yeah,
on the contract. But the thing that they were really having a hard time with, or the hardest time with, was just getting any concessions on this evil AI plan. Studios had.
I know, so, and it's like
it's great that they finally got that. That one piece of the puzzle worked out.
Yeah, someone had tweeted, I don't know why I'm still on Twitter, but I'll go down with that ship. And somebody had said, like, this is it's the first legal codification of any AI usage. So, like, hopefully this sets the tone for, like, lots of different industries to not be able to just steal your identity and replace you with AI all the time. So that feels, you know, exciting, I guess.
What's so a funny thing people don't know about my co-host Doug Mellard is he's been AI this entire time.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, you'll notice as the show goes along, he just says stuff that's just kind of random, and any robot could say it.
Yeah, for sure.
What is the latest status of your very popular one-person show?
Old title, or like still current title, Oh God, A Show About Abortion, is I'm trying to rework it a little bit and keep performing it with some new, I don't know, abortion keeps changing, and our attitudes on it keep evolving, and I'm trying to address those a little bit in a new version of it. So I'm still kind of out there doing it, but I don't have any specific updates about it, unfortunately. Just still kind of.
Are you going to update it in the title, like still? Oh God, still.
Oh God, this bitch is still talking about abortion.
It's still a show about abortion.
Yes. Oh God, still a show about abortion. Yeah, I don't know. I have to figure out like what ends up making sense for kind of whatever iteration this is. But for now, it's like, oh God, she's still talking about it, isn't she? So.
So it's not, you're not performing it currently, but you are going to do it again.
Yeah, I'm kind of like looking at what could come next for both New York and maybe like popping out to LA again and a little bit of touring with like a new version of it. So that's where I'm at with it. And it's good. I mean, we've had some big wins for abortion in this country in the last general election we had this month. So I'm excited about that. Makes me feel safer doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's another, like, I'm not really a big, huge fan of the word codified. It sounds like sounds like cauterizing or something.
Yeah.
But Ohio codified abortion rights in their whatchamacallit.
In their state the rules.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love I tend to like start sentences talking about this stuff and then realize I'm just repeating something I've read and I didn't even finish reading it. So then I just kind of trail off into like using like very like codified, and then at the end being like, you know, they're paperwork stuff.
Yeah, they've sealed it in an envelope and now no one can open it and change it. No matter what.
Yeah.
You are also the co-host of a podcast that I would enjoy, I'm sure, because it's about movies, but more specifically horror films.
Yes.
And how you don't like them, but your co-host does.
Yeah, my friend Hallie, who's been a Doug Loves Movies champion. Or winner, or whatever words.
She was codified.
She was codified as As on the podcast.
Movies winner, yeah.
She loves them, and that's been like our relationship since I knew, like, met her just doing stand up in New York a billion years ago. And she would always be like, "Ugh, I just want to talk about this movie I saw, but all my friends haven't seen it yet." And I was like, "You could tell me what happens because I'm never going to see it." And then we kind of started being like, "Well, maybe this is a podcast," and that is ruined, and I will never see any of those movies. But I'm desperate to find out what happens, and I'm just like an information addict. I'm just like, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. And then, you know, this is the easiest. This is way more fun than reading Wikipedia, is listening to Hallie talk about literally anything.
I think I brought this up on Doug Loves Movies, though. I think that there's plenty of horror movies out there that having them described to you, you're going to, in your head, is going to be a much scarier,
100%. Like, there are, I have had... I usually, so like when we do the podcast, like I watch the trailer so then we can talk about, so at least like there's like some like visual sense of like, oh, this is the kind of the vibe of the movie. And then I could like, we can like, I can guess what I think will happen based on just like a specific trailer cut. But I've had like absolute horrific nightmares from just watching a trailer and then hearing Hallie tell me stuff about it. I'm like, oh, this is, I should have just watched the movie because like this has got to be worse.
Yeah, if you fill in the blanks, it's not good to go to your head to do that.
Yeah, that no. Worse, yeah, sure. Much worse. So,
and oftentimes they'll cut away or the mm-hmm. Or the effect will be so cheesy that it's not as terrifying as you think.
Right.
You know, just having it described, that's some scary stuff. You know, that's like what Stephen King has made his whole thing on, is just describing scary shit.
Yeah, it's why like like scary books can be so much worse than the movies that are adapted from them sometimes, because it's like, oh, like your brain filled in what that might look like as opposed to bad CGI doing it.
Yeah, it's just harder to do jump scares in a book because you can't really. And then somebody came out from behind the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you got me. I was reading those words. It really scared me.
Well, if you're a really slow reader, I feel like maybe the surprise can creep up on you.
Or just like they just have to be honest about it and just like suddenly just go, cat. You know, like, okay, you got me. I didn't expect a cat to jump out of that moment. The word cat to jump out at me. But that sounds super, like, so each episode you discuss one film basically.
Yeah, we do like kind of tip to tail the whole movie. Hallie walks through it and she's like such a good storyteller. Like she's a very good, I'm like a good describer. I don't think that's how you would say that. She has she's very good at descriptions, I guess is what I wanted to say. So she just really like, we will like walk through like from the, like, she'll be like, what, like, she'll like bring up she's like, oh, this movie's kind of about, mothers. Ah. And then it's like, how scary do you find mothers? And we talk about moms for a bit or something like that. And then we do the whole movie. And then we kind of talk about like what the characters could have done to possibly avert some of the things that happen. But in most of them, it's just like, I don't know, these people seem fucked from the jump.
Yeah, it is. It's a family or people or campers or whatever it is in a horror movie. It's just sort of like, it seems like it's fate more than anything. Right. You know, they just, the movie has to have something bad happen to them.
Right.
I hate too much, backstory in like horror, you know, like I don't really need the people to deserve their fate, you know?
Yeah. Random violence is also much scarier than kind of like, oh, these were bad people. And it's like, okay. I mean, I guess they shouldn't have disrupted that burial ground and this wouldn't have happened to them. But other than that,
the thing is they find out about the burial ground after they've been attacked by ghosts.
Right.
And then they go, oh, shoot, we shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? It's like, that shouldn't have happened. We shouldn't have been on a burial ground. But they didn't. You don't have that scene where they're saying, oh, I'm not worried about a burial ground.
Right.
It's always the developers admit it later when things go south.
Yeah. And it's like, well, what were you supposed to do? We do a lot of like, what would you do in this situation? Like at different points in the movies. And I'm just like, at every point, I'm like, I'm already dead. Like, I just, there's no way I've made it this far into the movie. Like, I'm first to go. No question.
I just got read a shocking or was reminded of a shocking piece of information. In the movie Jaws 2, the city of Amityville still has the same mayor that was there in first movie where he was, you know, basically leading people to slaughter by keeping the beach open. That guy didn't lose his job is so funny.
It's so funny.
and the episodes of Ruined are about, it's about an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Shorter than a movie.
It's quicker than watching one of these movies.
Yeah, right. And so if you're busy, I guess it's a really good route.
Have you ever caught yourself or intentionally recommended a horror movie to somebody just based off of Hallie's her description?
Yeah, because people, I feel like it often, I'm always like recommending movies I've never seen and I'm just like, I don't know. But I feel like, because people will be like, oh, what's a super scary movie? And I'm like, I can tell you some of the worst nights of my life after we recorded episodes and I bet those will be pretty scary. I feel like I can like evaluate like, this is like, if you don't like scary stuff, but you want to kind of dip your toe in, like, I remember we did this movie and I thought to myself, like, I could have watched this. This would be no big deal. So that's the metric I'm using.
Yeah, you never know. And that's the fun thing about horror movie trailers is that they're generally only allowed to go so far.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to tell if it's going to be like I said before, like a lot of cutting away from the grislier stuff or if they really, really lay into it. Like even Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, like I was always nervous about them because I was like, oh, there's going to be a ton of Texas Chainsaw Massacres. Like they're going to be massacring people with chainsaws. And then they always have
Texas.
of all places. So they always have like one, you know, there's always like maybe one or two. And there's even a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie I just heard recently because I haven't seen all of them. Mm-hmm. But there was one where there is absolutely no chainsaw massacres occurred at all. Like people died, but like apparently none by chainsaw.
Oh.
So yeah, so that's a super misleading, but also that'd be the one I'd want to start with, you know,
if I'm going to watch
a Texas Chainsaw movie, I want to see, and maybe even one in another state. Like, why hasn't some a-hole just come along and gone, Utah?
Yeah, Delaware Chainsaw Massacre.
You know, like, why can't they just move it to a different state and totally swipe the concept?
Yeah, they have the opportunity for, like, 49 other iterations of the movie if they wanted to just keep making state-based Chainsaw Massacre films.
Yeah, and serial killers are, you know, they're a mobile lot, I would think. Like, most of the ones I hear about are multi-state killers. So, like, this seems like an opportunity that's been overlooked.
Yeah.
Because it's even the word Texas at the beginning. It's not like it's alliterative or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Chicago Chainsaw Massacre or something's more fun to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, get those repeated blended consonant sounds going.
Yeah. Not that I'm wishing for that to happen in Chicago. They got enough problems.
Seriously.
Just off the top of your head, Doug, what do you think is the most terrifying movie? Let's see if Allison's had it described to her.
Mm. Ooh. I'm not a huge horror person. I will say, on this subject, though, I saw the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'd never seen the original. It's terrifying, and it wasn't, you know, anything about a chainsaw necessarily. It's just the characters. Like, it's for how gritty the filmmaking is, I don't know. There's something just eerie about the whole vibe of the film. Like,
it's just seedy. Like, the guy, you know, the killer is called Leatherface.
Yeah.
And the mask is not, I don't even understand why it's considered to be a mask. It just looks like
almost
like a slice of human flesh with a couple of eye holes cut into it.
Yeah.
So has Hallie described Texas Chainsaw Massacre to you?
Yes, we did that one. And like, also like, I feel like, I don't know if that movie is where the term came from, but it's certainly the one that I associate the most with, like, the final girl.
Being
the, you know, the one woman who survives, who is screaming and thin and braless and covered in blood by the end of the movie, but she gets away somehow. So that like, so I like, I feel like I also like just have learned a lot about film from doing the podcast too. Just like general, like reference. I'm a huge like Simpsons, like growing up, it was like my number one favorite show. And like every Treehouse of Horror, I've like loved those episodes, but like there's references I'm like just now understanding because I had never seen the films that it was like that the bits were based on. And now like, it's been very informative for me.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet it has. Nice. And like, it is fun that you can talk about these movies without having seen them.
Yeah, it's great.
It's such a fun concept to me. One more thing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Did she tell you, did she constantly remind you that everything was covered with flies?
Yes, I do feel like if she wasn't constantly saying it, like it definitely got brought up enough that I was like, got it. That's what's happening.
Yeah, it's just
that movie seemed
like just you like wouldn't want to walk through any of the rooms where this movie takes place,
right?
Regardless of the murders,
right? If it was just like, I don't know, this is just like a film about a family, like you'd still be like, this is disgusting, and I don't want to be here.
Yeah, just so much like streams of light into these just dusty rooms, yeah. And yeah, just really, the whole thing is. It really is not. It's not as scary as it is just disgusting. It's
yes.
Just got a veneer of creepiness over the whole thing. So we're here to discuss, as we do with all of our guests, your name. That's right, Allison. We talked to all the other guests about your name. No, we talked about. We go Libby or Libby to every guest we talk to. You'd be surprised how few know it.
I wouldn't be surprised. No one knows.
We discuss everybody's name part by part, you know, one bit at a time. But first, we have some warm-up questions real quick. Starting what is your, Allison Libby, what is your tattoo situation?
Oh, I have five and when I was 17, I got the sign for Capricorn on like the back of my shoulder, like illegally, just as some kind of act of rebellion. I am a Capricorn at least. So I do feel like I made like a good move in that department. If I was like, actually I'm a Pisces. I'm not an astrology person though. It was just like my friend was doing it and I was like, I'll do that.
Why is it illegal?
I was too young. I was 17. You're supposed to be 18 to get a tattoo. And I like think I lied to the guy or something. I don't know. It was.
You should not have admitted to that on the podcast.
Oh no! They're gonna come find me. I'm 40.
I mean, I know that's to protect the children or whatever, but like a tattoo artist, what kind of trouble could they get in for doing that to a child?
I got to assume. Some financial repercussions, some kind of fine or something. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a big deal. I have no idea, but I know I was definitely not. Also like me at 17, like 6 months away from being 18 and me at 18, that's the same person making the same decisions. I just like, don't understand what could possibly be different. Like legally it's like, I don't know. I was the same idiot. So I feel like it should be fine.
I think the cutoff for tattoos should be like 14.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like if you can drive a car, you should be able to get a tattoo.
Okay, 16.
Yeah.
You get your driver's license, you can get a tattoo.
Yeah. This country has some weird date stuff going on with like ages. I feel like there's it's so arbitrary.
So entirely arbitrary and initially set by, you know, weirdos and prudes and, you know, people trying to control people and... although, you know, I'm to this day pretty grateful that you have to be at least 16 to drive a car.
Yeah, that, if anything, should be a higher number and everything else should be lower. Like, you should be able to drink at 16 and drive at 21.
I like that. That's a really good, let's get that going.
Yeah, let's lobby for that. There's, we'll put it in codified. We'll codify it.
Okay, so the first tattoo was like basically a...
just like I'm a teenager and my friends and I want to get tattoos and
that's your actual sign. You didn't just
it is
get
my
some
sign,
other sign.
Yeah, it is my sign. I am a Capricorn, And then I got 3 stars on one of my feet when I was in college, after I had had a horrific back surgery. And then I almost died from this blood clot complication I had. Oh my God. And so I had this very cavalier, like, I almost died. Who gives a shit? And like got another tattoo. And, you know, my parents were like, I don't know anymore. It's fine. Who cares? So it wasn't, they were like, we're just happy you're not dead. And I was like, me too. So then I got
that. I like
that.
The 3 stars though, because it's like you're rating yourself on a scale of 1 to yeah. 5 stars.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what?
You this got a 3 at that time.
Moderate. Yeah. An average.
Hopeful, but not, yeah, stuff. Let's not get crazy.
Look, maybe if I could get my shit together, I can add 2 more and we'll see what happens.
Like Michelin stars.
Yes.
You know, every time you improve in some way, you
yeah,
can
you
add
get
a star.
Another one. And then it was like 20 years before I got another tattoo. And I've had a bunch of back surgeries. So like that tends to be something that like dictates what I'm up to in my life. If I have one, I'm like, oh, well now I have like a new outlook. But I had a spinal fusion during the 2020, during the pandemic, and it was pretty terrifying. And so then I got just 2 little blue waves on my forearm, arbitrarily decided that I just like water. So I did, I was a swimmer and I was like, that's something, I don't know.
They say that it's good for you to look at water every day.
Yeah.
Like, so you don't have to get to an ocean. You can just look at your arm.
I just look at my arm. Yeah. It's the same exact effect. And then, I got on the inside of my other, upper arm, I got a tattoo of the, in my show, I do a long bit about how I bought a cactus and it died very quickly. And then I threw the dead cactus at the front door of the stupid expensive store that sold it to me because they wouldn't give me a refund, because it was clearly sick when I bought it. And so it's like a central, like big, like fun, like bit in the show. And, me and the staff of my show, when I was running it off Broadway, my like PA and my house manager were all just like other tattoo ladies. And so we all, our friend does tattoos. And so she came to the theater and we all got the same drawing of a cactus tattooed on each other. So that was a very fun thing to get to do.
Yeah, that's the group yeah. tattoo.
Yeah.
Real peer pressure though there. Did you think anybody that was involved got it just because everyone else was?
I don't know. Everybody that worked on my show, it was all, it was 3 people and we all, like, and me, so 4 of us, and we all had like at least 3 or 4 tattoos, but I think for the most part more than that. So like it wasn't as big a deal, I think, to a lot of them. Like it was just like, oh, I have a bunch of tattoos, like I'll add a cute cactus done by our friend who's an artist. Like, so I felt like it wasn't too big of a, like, we're doing this, like, you know, we're all still friends, so it worked.
All right, that's good, it worked out. Nobody's just,
it worked out
walking around all angry with a cactus.
Yeah, nobody's like, the fuck is this? And then I have another, I guess I did a lot of like tattoos with my friends in the last few years. And then a friend of mine, when I was in LA, she has just gotten into tattoos. And so she was like, want to go get one together? And I was like, sure. She was like, want to get the same thing? And I was like, why not? And we both are swimmers, and I had taken her to like get back into swimming when I was living in LA. So we both got like a pool ladder on our ankles, which is just very cute and dumb. And, you know, so that's, I'm sure I'll get something equally irrelevant and silly with another random person in my life in the next like 6 months.
Let's go.
So the process, yeah, Doug will get one with you.
Yeah, great. Well, I'll do it.
The getting of the tattoo, the pain doesn't, you're fine with it?
Yeah, it doesn't really, I mean, I like to say that it's like, oh, I've had all these back surgeries, like who cares about tattoos? But it's like, they are painful. It is like not fun. But all of mine are very small. And none of them have been horrifically painful, though I know that there are people who have like very painful tattoo sessions, depending on like where they are on your body. Like people choose areas where I'm like, why? Like your ribs. I'm like, oh, I don't even like when my bra touches my ribs. I'm certainly not going to have somebody jam a needle in there for an hour.
Oh, God.
horrific way. Yeah, it's like Hallie will talk about all the horror movie stuff forever, and I get so grossed out. But I talk about anything in my life, and she's like, your life is so much scarier.
Yeah, you're having all these scary things done to you intentionally.
Yes, yes. I'm opting in to way worse horror than any movie could provide.
Yeah, that is wild. Yeah. All right.
All right, those are all my tattoos. That took a minute.
I love that tattoo roundup. That was good. Yeah, because when someone's got five, they usually are starting to lose track at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they go, oh, there's one that's this, and there's one. They have to look at their own body to figure out, you know, which ones are, you know.
Yeah. I feel like because mine have, like, at least two of them have been, like, with other people as, like, a group activity, I feel like I can, like, remember and keep track of them more. I'm like, oh, the ankle is with Aaron, and then, like, the arm is with my staff. And it's kind of a nice way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, like Doug has no system like that in place, so his skin is just a
You got to codify all your tattoos.
That's my next tattoo, just the word codify.
All right, so we covered tattoos, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's kind of, you know, they're mostly permanent. Mm-hmm. Like you don't, none of the ones you have, do you, you're not, you would never consider trying to get them removed. You're good with all.
No.
Of that.
Yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't say that I'm like in love with the sign for Capricorn and being on the back of my shoulder, but I can't see it. So I don't really care.
It doesn't come out that often.
Yeah. Very rarely. So
don't have to worry about it. I like that. So what about in your life? Have you had any cars, bicycles, or just anything that you've owned that's inanimate but that you've given a name, like you'd name things ever?
No, I'm not big on naming stuff. Well I have an animate thing. I have a cat, but he's alive.
Yeah.
So I named him, but I didn't even name him. Yeah. I just kept the name that the guy who rescued him gave him. So I was like, all right, that's fine. I guess. Yeah. I'm not a big like namer of other things. When I got my car, I lived in LA for a year and I got a car. I just went to the Honda dealership and I was like, I'll take a Civic. And they were like, okay. And then they were like, what color? I go, oh, whichever one's closest. I don't care. Like I just, car culture didn't really connect with me. But other things. Yeah, I don't think I've ever named anything that isn't me, or I didn't even name myself. That's ridiculous. Or my cat. Yeah, no, I'm looking around. Nothing's got a name.
Yeah, people love to, just give little nicknames to their, you know, their vehicle or a lot of people have like their home has a name. Mm. But, it does seem like I'm getting less and less action off of this question from people because I think that's more of a thing that in my head people are doing because it happened more when I was younger or in old movies.
Yeah.
You
know,
like the guy's got a name for his car in a lot of different old movies, you know?
Right.
And it's usually something to do with how much sex he has in that car or something.
Yes. Or with that car.
Yeah.
Like Christine. I do wish I had a boat. I think I'd like to name a boat.
Yeah, boats have to be named, right?
Yeah, like
the official that they have to have a name.
Yeah, they need a name.
It on the side or not.
Yeah.
Just for boat paperwork.
Yes.
If you had a boat, what would you name it?
I mean, it would be so depend. I think I would really like, it would depend on the vibe of the boat. I was a rower all through high school and college. And like, we had to name like all of our boats that we rowed had names. But like they weren't fun and we didn't get to really be as participatory. I wanted to name them all kinds of things. And they were like, you are not involved with this. You don't get to participate. This is something adults will do for you. The whole thing is not a joke as you think it is. So, but yeah, I don't know. I think I would like to name a boat, but again, it would really depend on like, is it like a little fishing boat? Is it like a really chic kind of speedboat? They would have totally different names, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. We don't need you to commit to a name for your boat you don't have.
It's the secret. I'm putting it out there.
And then the next question we ask people, you already touched on it briefly, is the pets, the naming of pets, because that's such a big, I don't know. It's crazy. It's a responsibility, but also a place to have a lot of fun or have too much fun and then regret later that you have to yell that name when you're, you know, looking for your pet.
Yeah.
So what's your, you have a cat?
So I have a cat. So like, so thankfully I never have to like really say his name outside of my home, but the name that the guy who rescued him gave him that I just like kept is Riz, R-I-Z-Z, which I learned after the fact is like a Gen Z slang term that's short for charisma. Like he's got Riz, like he has game. But I was just like, oh, that's so cute. Cause it's like a name that's like, it's cute and short. It'll be easy if I have to take him to the vet or get him prescriptions. It's like, like a little easy little name, but also like it allowed me to like, I'll be like, oh, Rizdifer and like Lord Risington. And like, I'm like Mary Rizmus. No, we're Jewish. But like, he like, it's like, this is the kind of thing where I'm like Rizzy Riz. Like there's a lot of nicknameification that can happen with it. So it just like, I don't know. I looked at him. I was like, he looks like a Riz. Like he's so cute. I love him.
Yeah, that's a fun, you know, Rizzo is of course a, a fun name that comes up from time to time.
Yes, Rizzo.
I have a friend whose last name is Rizzo.
That's a great last name.
And then there's that amazing Muppet character, Rizzo the Rat.
Oh, yes. I love all the Muppets. They're so
named
great.
After Ratso Rizzo from...
from Greece. Ratso Rizzo from...
Midnight Cowboy.
Yes.
Yeah, so people, there's a Muppet that's named after a character from an X-rated film.
The Muppets are so funny. They're so perfect. I love them so much. There's so much comedy happening with them.
Yeah, they really, each Muppet has their own shtick. And yeah. There's so many Muppets that you can't get tired of any of it.
It's true.
You know, like, oh, he's doing that again. Okay, Sam the Eagles being so serious again. So those are the warm-up questions. You did great. You passed. That means you get to go on to the next portion of the show. We're running a little late on having a commercial break, so we're going to do that right now, and we will be right back to talk to Allison. Allison's going to give us all the secrets and lies around the name Libby. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and let's break down your name, Allison Libby, one part of it, one element at a time, starting with your first name. How do you feel about growing up Allison?
I feel like I am an Allison. It feels like to me a very like, I don't know how, like neutral name. Like I think it doesn't have a ton of, I think there's like, especially for girls' names, like there are ones that like really have a vibe like ones that end in like IE or Y or like kind of have like, you know, a cutesy feel to them or like a more like Susan is so serious. And Allison just kind of feels like, I don't know, just like I'm an Allison. That's just like you're a gal.
A Gallison.
Yeah, I'm a Gallison. Allison Gallison. yeah, I was like good. And I'm also happy my parents went with like the cleanest spelling of it. Just one L. No Y's or extraneous kind of like strange letters that you find in them. Some we're not strange, but like off the beaten path.
I'll back you on that. A Y in Allison is strange.
Yeah, the Y in Allison.
That doesn't make sense. It's a double L, or could it be both? Could it be one or two L's with the Y?
I think both are out there. I think I've seen both. Like, I think people take a lot of liberties and will throw all kinds of stuff into Allison. So I'm glad that I just have like the very simple, just one of each letter.
Yeah, like people try to, make a name stand out that's a little more common by adding or taking away letters.
Yes.
We've been talking a lot about this glut of people named John with no H.
Yes.
Whenever we talk to one, they never really are like, it was never that serious of a decision to not include the H.
Right.
But so have you discussed with your parents that you're grateful that they spelled Allison correctly?
I don't think we've talked about it a lot, but I think it's come up before, and they're like, well, yeah, like that's how you would spell that name. Like that just is, like, they were like, I don't think we entertained like another spelling. It's like, that's how you spell. And also like I'm like, any other name that like has like Alyssa, Alicia, like all of the, like those all have one L. So like, why would Allison have two?
That's a great point. I think Allison has two also because it is sometimes a last name.
Yes.
And
yes.
I feel like last name Allison's have two just because to make it more fuller and more of a last name feel.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I guess there's probably people who get the first name Allison as an homage to the family last name Allison that maybe goes away through marriage or something like that. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
It could be, but you know, it's all speculation.
This is true.
We don't know anything here at Wide World of Doug's. we just guess. But so how about, so that's the other thing is if you have the Y in there, I think people are quicker probably to jump to calling you Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Y makes it more easier to just, whether it's one L or two, A-L-L-Y, just Allie. It's just spelled out right there. I never, did you see, now I can't think of the name of it, the Barbra Streisand, and now the Lady
Gaga. A Star Is Born.
Star Is Born. Yes. Did you see the most recent Star Is Born where she plays Allie?
Allie, A-L-L-Y. And it's like, that's not how you would pronounce that.
And it's just, she's just a one-named Allie. Like, even Lady Gaga, as famous as she is, she needs two names and four syllables.
Yeah.
But for some reason in that movie, she's a famous Allie, and I never get over her because I like that movie.
Yeah, it's just wild that, like, that's the name they chose.
Yeah, because it's just like, I don't think someone could become a famous enough Allie to be Allie.
So.
It's not like Cher or Madonna that's already a little unique, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah, there's not just like, when I say Lisa, like, who do you think of? It's like, we all think of a different Lisa.
Yeah, Jane. Oh my God, it's Jane, everybody.
Right.
So it really, I can watch it on a loop because they have that scene where Allie is on Saturday Night Live.
Yes. Yes,
and
yes.
Alec Baldwin has to go, ladies and gentlemen, Allie. And it just doesn't work. It's just like, or something if you're introducing her like that.
Yeah, it does feel like you're like waiting for the second name. You're waiting for any, like a descriptor, like an initial, a last name, anything. Because like Allie, like it sounds unfinished.
Yeah, or even like A-L-L-E-Y. Like, you know,
yeah, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's in the alley. She couldn't be here tonight. So Allison, no matter how you spell it, though, did you have any issues in your life with did you feel like it was too common?
No, I feel like there were like, when I was growing up, there were maybe like two or three other Allisons kind of around, but like, not so many that like there had to be a lot of distance. And like, I know one of them went by Allie and I never did. So it was like Allie McCormick and Allison Leiby. And it wasn't really too difficult. I found it like common enough that like nobody was tripped up by my name, but also not so common that it's like, ugh, another Caitlin, you know? I knew a lot
Caitlin
of Caitlins and
really
Kristens.
Come on strong.
Yeah.
and also could be spelled so many ways.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to spell Caitlin. Like Caitlin and Kristen and Christine, like all of those names were very popular with the girls I was.
Oh my God, the Kristen Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Oh, God.
Awful.
So much. It's like Caroline and wait, how, what's the other way you say Caroline?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, yeah. Carolyn, yeah. And Caroline. I've got a friend who's a Caroline who will not let it stand if you say Carolyn. Will like correct everybody. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of, you end up doing a lot of correcting if you're going to be.
Yeah, that's like a 50-50 shot. If I see Caroline, L-I-N-E, written out and I have to say it out loud, like, it could go either way. It's like vase and vase. You're just like, I don't, whatever comes out of my mouth is what comes out of my mouth. I don't have a preferred pronunciation.
Can you imagine saying vase and someone going, it's vase, like absolutely serious? Get it right.
Get it right. It's vase.
Yeah. Vase,
vase. I dated an alley and then it did not end well.
You dated an alley?
I dated an alley in an alley, and I got her name tattooed on my chest at one point and just said, whoa, alley. Yeah, I was like, and then it just looks like a prison tat. And then it ended, and so I just got I Heart Alligators to
recovery.
And then there's a little Lacoste alligator. It's so stupid. No, but
I
it
like
works.
That. I mean, until... you know, you're wronged by an alligator and you have to pivot yet again. And I don't know, you know, what options you're going to have at that point.
It's also funny to dispel alligator with a Y.
Alligator. Like, even that would make more sense than just Allie as a pop star. Ladies and gentlemen, alligator.
Oh my God, that would have been so perfect. And that could have been another, you know, wrinkle in the story where, like, the people that run the music companies, like, some music, there was, like, kind of a guy that was her, Svengali, who was in her career. He could have been like, we've decided your last name is Gator, and she could have been upset about it. And that could have been another reason for Bradley Cooper to get drunk and angry.
Yeah, she could have been like, I'm a crocodile woman. What are you talking about?
Stupid. Can either of you say out loud the difference between a crocodile and an alligator?
Crocs are bigger, right? That's all I think I know. I don't know.
I think, like, one's got a pointier head.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know which one. And I think one of them is, like, more water and the other one, like, can do land better.
Oh, I see.
Like, moves on land a little bit better.
Alligators stay in the water probably more.
I think so.
Because they're in the sewers.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Salt water?
Oh, that could be it.
Oh, could that be the difference? Is just their preference in water? Like, one likes sparkling, the other likes flat?
It just seems like you'd be like, that's a freshwater alligator and not a crocodile. Like, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah. I guess the answer is no. I don't know the difference between them.
Clearly none of us do.
I thought somebody might, you know, because sometimes somebody will just blurt out, one only has three legs, you know, like they know.
Yeah.
They know for sure.
I wish. I'm going to learn so that I can bring that, you know, to other conversations.
Well, it'll come up at some point on Ruined.
Absolutely.
There's alligators and crocodiles eating people.
You'd think I'd know with my love of alligators. Tattooed on my chest.
You'd right. Yeah.
You,
say
you,
you
should know.
I'm a liar.
But you should put underneath it another tattoo that says you love chocodiles. Okay. So, middle name. What's your middle name?
I do have a middle name. It's Mary, which is very odd. Just because.
How did that happen?
I think my parents have told me, I also am very, I don't know if other people are like this or if you guys are, like, my parents will tell me something about our family and I ask zero follow-up questions. just like, so I don't know, like, answers to, like, very, you know, personal things. I'm like, I actually don't know. I think Mary was the name of someone on one side of my family, and it was an homage to her. I think my mom had, like, a great grandmother with that name, which just seems very odd because my mom's family is Jewish and that's so not a Jewish name. And I don't think I know any of my dad's family.
It's
yeah.
a perfect place to put a name that you can say to somebody, hey, we named her after you.
Yeah.
Without really doing it, because it never comes up except for in situations where you're trying to prove you're you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Like and IDs and stuff.
And it's tough because like Mary, I think there's like four middle names that like all like that like 90% of like white American women have. And it's like Mary, like Marie, Susan, like, you know, there's just like a couple. So I'm just like, it could be anyone. I feel like I know a ton of people with that middle name. None of them. I don't know. It doesn't make sense, but it is my middle name.
Yeah, and it's you know, I'd say the if you're saying it all, which again you rarely have reason mm-hmm. to, but Allison Mary Leiby,
yeah,
has a reasonable flow. There's no there's no weird speed bumps or anything in there.
Yeah, it works. It's like there's probably someone back there with that name that's related. So kind of it's not some like bizarre left turn where my parents are like, well, we love, you know, crocodiles. And that's why you're Allison Crocodile Libby. You know, there's no, it feels like reasonable and it does like sound, it's like Allison Mary, like it all kind of.
I like crocodile. I like crocodile as a middle name for you though, because then yeah. your initials would be ACL.
ACL. Yeah.
That's a fun initial. AML doesn't really bring to anything in particular to mind, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No,
you know, because some people have really embarrassing initials when you get
it spells out something strange or something like that.
KKK or something.
Yeah, I have a tote bag that I've had for a billion years that has I get the monogram that like UGH just because I'm just like this is my vibe, and people always stop me and they're like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "It's not this." I was just using it to do a joke. It's actually not Ursula, whatever.
You have to make something up. Ursula.
Gertrude. Hines.
And then, you go nuts with the last name. You can do anything. So the last name, Libby, as mm-hmm. discussed earlier, is spelled E-I-B-Y.
Yes.
What has that just been... a thing your whole life of people spelling it wrong?
Yeah, I think that's why I think like you would either have to be someone who like really cares and is constantly like bothered by it, or my tack, which is being like, I don't care if it's because it's been happening so much for so long that like everybody always just like switches the I and the E when they're trying to write it, or they pronounce it Libby or Levi. And I'm like, those are all correct. Levi. Like I could say Levi. I get it. We've all messed up saying people's names from reading them on paper. So I'm just like, it's an honest, you know, I'm like, I get it. That's how it's spelled. That's how it sounds like you should be saying it. So I don't really care, but I did like when I was little, my mom helped me remember how to spell my name because my full name, you can sing it along to the Mickey Mouse Club theme song, like A-L-I-S-O-N-L-E-I-B-Y. And so like, that was very helpful to me.
Wow.
I don't think that was intentional, but it was like a very happy accident.
I love that. I love that one.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean that anything with 6 letters then 5 would fit that in that song?
I think as long as one of the letters isn't W.
Yes.
That would throw off the syllables.
That would mess it up a little bit. Yeah.
But yeah, I think 6 and 5 works.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, Doug and Douglas were already out of the running for this.
Yeah.
They're both wrong, 4 or 6, but I love that though. A-L-I-S-O-N-L-E-I-B-Y.
But then like it doesn't work if you then try and like keep the song going in the same where it's like Allison Libby. Like it doesn't really, it's like there's too many syllables to be Mickey Mouse.
Oh yeah, yeah. Then you have to give up at that point.
Yeah. But the spelling is, you know, great.
Yeah. 6 and 5. I'm gonna try to remember that you know, any guests that show up with those that combination of letters, because then I could just teach it to them.
Yeah. And then they can remember how to spell their own name.
Everybody needs I really just wrote down Mickey Mouse and went, hey, that one's 6 and 5 too. All right, so this is the most important question we ask after getting to the bottom of everything about your name. We turn it back on us, and I would like you to try to describe the Dougs in your life, the Dougs that you've known.
Oh.
If any.
Because it's a
hard name. It's not as popular.
But it seems like it should be like, as I think about it, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm like, you know, it's like, I've been doing stand up for like 14 years. I've met thousands of men. But only I have one friend, Doug Smith. And he's great.
We know him.
Oh yeah. So I assume that all the Dougs get together for meetings quarterly.
No, we've been trying, you know, the show started off as we're going to have a different Doug each week.
Yeah.
And then we killed that very quickly.
How long did that last? Not long.
Like 4 weeks episodes? Maybe. Yeah. It was a booking nightmare because you can't just settle for just any Doug. And, you know, so we learned that really quickly, that just because someone's name's Doug doesn't mean they're going to be worth talking to for an hour.
That makes sense.
So especially because Dougs they do tend to be not as outgoing, you know, like there's like Douglas Fairbanks Jr. And, you know, there's examples of Dougs in show business, but it does seem like a name that doesn't lend itself to necessarily, you know, going in that direction. And then there's also Doug Stanhope is another, which I love his name because, you know, people not only confuse me with him sometimes just because of our names, because everything else about us is so different. I'm weed and he's alcohol, etc. Right. But I'm in a hoodie, he's in a suit. You know, it's like every little difference. But sometimes when people try to call me his name, they even go as far as to say Doug Stand Up instead of Stan Hope. They're like, aren't you Doug Stand Up? And I'm like, wow, that'd be wild.
Last You're name like was just technically,
yeah, I am Doug Stand Up.
You know how we used to all have like last names were just people's jobs, like that's you know,
absolutely. Like, I still can't believe that David Letterman, like that guy is a thing and became famous with that last name, Letterman. That's just such a weird, like he's from a long line of mail deliverers.
This is true. My high school calculus teacher, her last name was Cubic, which was that's a math word. I didn't do very well in that class, if you could guess. I'm like, it's one of those math words, huh?
Well, that's, you know, we've definitely brought that up on the show before, the concept of nominative determinism.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh wow.
You know, like what happened to Wetzel and his decision to make pretzels. You know, it's like your name kind of is a bit of a guide in some ways. It's different with everybody. But have you thought of any more Dougs?
I just realized I was like, oh yeah, that Doug I grew up with. And then I realized that was a kid whose last name was Douglas. His first name was something else. But I just thought he was a Doug because that's how infrequently Dougs have been in my life, that any semblance of Dougness has crossed my mind as being a first name, but it wasn't. Doug Smith might be the only Doug I know.
Wow, that happens.
Well, he's not doing a good, you know, besides you two, obviously.
It's funny, that show Gutenberg that stars Andrew Rannells and Josh Gad, they play a couple of dorks in that show. They're like trying to sell a musical that they created. And yeah. And they wear hats with their names on it. So I've seen tons of pictures of Andrew Rannells in a baseball cap that says Doug on it.
No, that's...
but it's already a very obvious choice. Of like, I'm Doug. He already sounds like a dipshit, you know?
I had a friend over this weekend. She brought her 4-year-old daughter. And her daughter asked me what my name was. And she's like, what's your name? And I go, Doug. And she laughed for a good minute, solid, just laughed like it was the funniest joke anyone's ever told her. It was the dumbest name ever. And I just started cracking up. Oh my God. That's so funny. Doug? Yeah, right. Idiot. And then she just walked out the door. It was hilarious.
Is every Doug short for Douglas? Or are some, do you think there are people where a birth certificate's just Doug?
I think there might be an occasional, yeah, like somebody, yeah, just gets weird and just calls somebody Doug, just like, you know, just like naming a baby Bob instead of Robert or something like
right,
that.
Right, 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 right.
You know, I think it happens, but I think generally it's Douglas. It's generally, yeah, you know, people are trying to give their kid a distinguished name, and then the world immediately just starts calling you Doug.
Right.
Whether you like it or not. Like, yeah, on my ID, it says Douglas, and they always go, you have a good flight, Doug.
Right.
It's like, when did I give you permission? I am Douglas. I never told you you could. Speaking of Dougs, real quick before we go, you know those commercials with those insurance commercials with a guy named Doug, and he's got his sidekick is an emu.
Yes.
And it's Doug and his emu. Those, yes, have been going for a few years now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've always wanted to get that guy that plays Doug to come, yeah, on this show to just talk about, you know, what's it like pretending to be a Doug.
Yeah, that's
And being called Doug everywhere he goes now, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I saw him the other day going into a bar in L.A. And me and my girlfriend both, like, recognized him immediately, even though he didn't have his Doug mustache or whatever.
Was he with an emu? Or are they just work acquaintances?
He's just with probably his wife or something. And they were going into a bar. We could have followed him in and bothered them. But I just the whole pitch of, like, hey, I have a show about Dougs. And you're in this commercial that you may or may not feel is an albatross for your career. Yeah. You know what I mean? He might be over it.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's like going up to the lady who plays Flo in the Progressive, yeah, commercials and being like, we've got a podcast called Going with the Flow. We only talk to people named Flo. Well, Allison, this has been delightful. I could speak for both of us Dougs, I think.
Yeah.
All Dougs.
When I say that. Yeah. Do you have anything, especially now that SAG-AFTRA is, you know, back at work, do you have any plugs that you would like to make?
I mean, not really. Listen to Ruined, anywhere you get your podcasts, if you want to listen to horror movie stuff. And then that's it. I do a bunch of stand up around New York. So if you follow me, there's information about that. But I wasn't working on anything when the WGA strike started, so I haven't been working on anything since it ended. And
right,
just chilling.
Well, yeah, it's it's been a weird
weird year.
Everybody's sort of laid off for a while, but, like, with stand-ups and podcasting, that was allowed by both, yeah, those both unions were like, yeah, go ahead and do your podcast.
Yeah, you can keep getting on stage and earning $40 a spot. Why not?
Yeah, we'll let you do that. So
yeah,
in that sense, it's been good that we, yes, were able to do these things. Thank anyway. God. Yeah, but thank you for being here. Doug, do you have any to throw in?
This Saturday, I'll be at the here in Austin, Texas, I'll be at the Esperanza Community for a fundraiser for the Other Ones Foundation that helps transition homeless people into jobs and homes. And there's going to be a bunch of great bands. I'll be emceeing all day. The hip hop group Far Side is going to be there with Brownout, Heartburn, nice, Croy and the Boys. And I'll be doing stand up at the end. So come on out to that November 11th. It starts at noon, goes all the way to 10 o'clock. And then now that we can talk about it, the movie I co-wrote with my buddy Joe Ahern and made with our other buddy Dan Riddle is now streaming on Peacock and Amazon Prime. So you can just pop it on.
Nice. The world.
The disappearance of Toby Black. The disappearance of Toby Blackwood. Sorry.
We just searched Doug.
Allison, I cannot recommend this movie enough to you. I saw excited. A screening of it when it came out. I'm in it extremely briefly. I'm not saying I like it just because I'm in it. But okay. it's a movie that my friend Doug and his friends made, you know, during the pandemic. And I think it turned out terrific. They spent $4 on it, and they get it all on the screen. It looks like a $5 movie when you
wow
yeah
thanks,
it's really good.
High praise.
Appreciate it.
I'm trying to think if that opened any plugging opportunities up for me. I don't think so. I could say that if you watch old episodes of Moonlighting now on Hulu, every episode of that show is there, and I'm in most of them because that was one of the first things I did in my show business career was I got cast as a extra on that show, and they just kept calling me back. So I just kept coming back in the background in all the office scenes. But as the series progresses, if you're going through and watching it, my part grows a little bit to a point where at one point, a bunch of us sing a song. They thought they could, you know, get around SAG after rules by just having a group of people all sing a song together. But it comes down to like how many people are in the group or something like that. So they probably got dinged. They probably got fined or something for doing it. But, other than that, my plugs are that I've got shows coming up in LA and New York and
San Antonio.
In between, San Antonio is on December 2nd, and all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com. We end every episode with the title of the show, that particular episode, and it's always something to, you know, some sort of pun or some sort of use of the word Doug. And so I hope you like it, Allison. And thank you once again for being here. Allison Leiby, I'll say it correctly one last time.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had a good time. You. And thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, oh, God, another show about Doug's.